And if you dance like Jackson, come on, your echo come. And if you dance like Remo, come on, your echo come. Oh, Nico, go. Man, I'm not there. Oh, Nico, go. Man, I'm too late. And if you dance like Jackson, come on, your echo come. And if you dance like Remo, come on, your echo come. Oh, Nico, go. Man, I'm not there. Oh, Nico, go. Man, I'm too late. I'm okay.
Hi guys, welcome to Chick Chat Live. My name is Cornelia. That was a song by David O, Owoni Coco. If you love the song just as much as I do, download it on iTunes. On the show today, we are talking about popularity versus influence. And our hot topic of the day is how to deal with a crazy ex-wife. In the studio with me today, I have Mrs. Bookie Karibi White, hello, who is the CEO of Robert Taylor Media. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I also have creative director at Insight Publicist, Simi Obiason. Welcome.
Hello.
And Tade Alalade, who's the founder of Bebe Heaven.
Hey.
Thank you for joining me, guys. Mm-hmm. So, I have been thinking, and a number of us, back prior previous episodes, we talked about social media standards of success. And how we've, you know, our generation especially has become obsessed with popularity. It is working for some people, but I wanted to kind of address the whole popularity versus influence thing. Of course, who better than our advertising and PR executives? So I'm going to start with you, Bobby.
Yo.
What is the difference between popularity and obviously from the corporate end, popularity versus influence? What do you think people should be chasing? Because I think it's important to be relevant now in most industries. You need relevance. What's the difference between popularity?
You know, it's really interesting that you asked this question because my clients, especially my international ones, are saying now that they're not really looking for celebrities or necessarily, you know, popular figures. That they're looking for influencers, you know, and I think that's becoming, you know, a quick trend.
Yeah.
People want to be believable. They don't want it to be, if you saw, let's say, you know, a celebrity holding a bottle of Coke, then it's obvious that that person might have been paid to do that. Yeah. It's not as
so
real.
So overt endorsements.
Exactly.
Yeah. But they're not looking for that.
Yeah. No, they're not. So if you saw like maybe a group of girls drinking a can of Coke, it might be more believable that they bought a can of Coke because they like to drink Coke. So I find that trends, are changing fairly quickly. And I always make reference to the Dove campaign. They could have used any celebrity in the entire world. But then they decided to do the whole, you know, Dove campaign of I have beautiful skin. And they used regular women, black, white, different skin types, oily, dry, to represent every kind
and
of
what
woman.
What the reality of the situation really is.
They could have probably used anyone that they like to promote that. But then they decided to go the real route, and it connected more with a lot of women. So I think now this style of influencing and, you know, passing messages across is changing fairly quickly. I'm expecting 2017 to actually have less to do with
the celebrity factor of it all. Because I think that, I mean, we're all looking for new faces, and I'm going to come to you because you've worked with like some really major brands and major campaigns. Well done with that, by the way. I feel like popularity does matter to a degree because a number of brands will say, oh, how many followers do you have? Or, you know, how many people know who you are, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I feel like if you deleted your Instagram or Facebook account, who are you? You know what I mean? So that's where the influence matters. So where is that balance on the side of the campaign?
For sure. For me, I would say that, you know, there's a clear difference between celebrities and influencers. We get this question a lot from our clients. And a lot of the times they're like, okay, guys, who do we pick? Who do we select? So it's very important for us as an agency to explain to them that popularity and influence, two separate things. Yeah. So for instance, you have XYZ number of millions of followers on your social media accounts. Yeah. Are they active? Are they passive followers who... Yeah. Literally are just following you, but they're not engaging you. So we've come to kind of learn to teach our clients that you need to kind of differentiate and say that the guys that have active followers that may not be in the millions are the ones who we should be speaking to. Because for them it's just like, okay, I have maybe someone who has just maybe 10,000 followers, but they live and breathe this person. So it's like they believe in this person. Whereas I have a so-called celebrity who has millions of followers. Half of them are not in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking, I need my product to sell in Nigeria, and this person is huge in, I mean, you've got fans in America, in London, or wherever, but you need your audience in Nigeria. So you have to kind of... School them to that.
So I'm going to, Tade, of course, you are not advertising exec, but you are promoting a cause, fertility advocate.
Yeah.
And I feel that, of course, you want to sing it as loud to as many people as you can. Mm. So, of course, you would be looking for popularity, but at the same time, influence, because it's such a sensitive issue. You know what I mean? Fertility, it seems a bit even private to me. So how do you kind of balance what you're projecting, you know what I'm saying, in terms of, okay, guys, this is an issue I'm trying to raise awareness of without trying to be popular about it?
You know what, the popularity thing is just really, like, initially I was thinking, how do I get the message across? But then when you think about it, the popular people actually don't even, like, a lot of them don't actually have something to them. They're all over the place. So I try to look for people that have depth to them. It has to be a balance. I believe that there should be a very good balance. But with me, I just believe that when you're actually doing something and you believe in what you're doing and you're portraying that something other than just the numbers, people would see that and connect with it.
Yeah.
And that goes away. It goes a long way more.
So in the people that you sort of affiliated with to help you pass the message, you've been selective about not necessarily going with the popular people, but finding people who have that voice. I know Bobby and I, we've talked about this thing before.
I mean, even thinking about her right now, I would rather see success stories, women that I don't necessarily know, that, you know, have struggled with infertility and, you know, have, you know, given birth to children. I even want to see women that are still struggling, because that's a true story for a lot of women, as opposed to you showing me some big time actress saying, do this and do that. I won't buy it.
Okay, so what, let's speak about our terrain, because I feel like, you know, when I was studying in school, if I remember Kadili Antandek in the UK, they stayed on TV forever. Like, it was like there was no new faces. And then when I got to America, the style and the media campaigning and the vibe was completely different, because 2-3 years, new faces, they're rolling out new people. And I don't think that we've embraced that in Nigeria. I still feel like, as much as I'm hearing here that, you know, brands aren't necessarily looking for celebrities and they're looking for influencers. To be honest, the influencers that I'm seeing out there just don't really fit. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like, do we have a lack of influencers?
So you see, the thing, for example, I think you have to be clear on what is an influencer and then what is a celebrity. Now, I'm comparing a Tiwa Savage, who's a celebrity, and a Lola Oje.
Okay.
Lola Oje, for me, is not a celebrity. She's an influencer.
So she's a beauty influencer. Okay, that's a good comparison.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, so it's very, very different. They're not on TV every day. They're not on stage.
But people believe
they may not even have the celebrities. If you, I mean, Tiwa has millions of followers. These other guys have 27K, 15K. But guess what? Out of that 15K, some of them have a lot of... They're engaging. It's not just I hail you, bros.
But I've also, whilst we say that, I've also heard that there is a number which I believe is about 100K. I think that is the number, you know, where, like, you know, Google starts to mess with you. You know what I mean? That's when you start to get the ads and stuff. So whilst people are trying to, and I think the problem is where you feel you have to get to 100K until you are a force to be reckoned with, because everybody wants to be recognized for the stuff that they're doing. But what would you say the difference between... Let me use the word, I hate the word branding, but the word, the difference between branding and marketing, I'm going to throw that to you, because I think a lot of people have gotten into this personal brand. Everybody wants to be a brand right now. What happened to life before Girl Boss, life before Black Girl Magic? You know what I mean? There's just so much going on with the hashtags and people want to follow that trend. So what's the difference between creating, I read this book, it's called The Love Mark. And I think it was the CEO of Saatchi & Saatchi that wrote about creating a love mark as opposed to just having a product.
Yes. I think what all these celebrities try to do is they try to package themselves because they're
that's
trying
the key
to
word, package.
Yeah, it's like packaging. Yeah, so they try to build themselves as a brand.
Brand. Yeah.
Now this is where a lot of the times it kind of goes wrong because they don't understand brand building. Mm-hmm. If I can use it, express it in that way, they're more kind of, well, I want to be reckoned with.
On so what are they media. Doing wrong?
What are they doing wrong? A lot of the times they're doing everything. They're trying to do everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to first sit back and say, what do I stand for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a brand can, who's my demographic?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I speaking to? Mm-hmm. Am I premium brand? Am I an everybody brand?
Mm-hmm.
You can't try and get everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's, I think, is the mistake a lot of them mm-hmm. kind of make. So they're just, everyone's clutching at straws.
Yeah.
I want everyone to follow me. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to talk this way today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be outrageous mm-hmm. or whatever. And it kind of, it erodes the brand that they're trying to create because it's a brand that isn't
mm-hmm.
it's just too many things going on.
But shouldn't personalities just be I think, like, let's even use Oprah Simple or Wendy Williams or like, let's just say we're talking about like media personalities, for instance. Shouldn't this personality kind of just speak for itself? Because I don't think Ellen is a brand per se, you know what I mean? I think Ellen just is Ellen and that is the brand, you know what I mean? I think but Oprah was involved. Just Oprah. Yes, she has, but I don't think she was trying to sell the funny brand. Mm. I think she was just funny. Yeah. I think Oprah was just intelligent. She liked books and she just became Oprah. Mm. So I think that people are caught up in trying to create until they become. You know what I mean? So we're not going to know what Oprah's first show looked like, you know what I'm saying? Because we didn't see it all the way.
Mm.
But I think that the...
See, I think Ellen is a brand. I think
Do you think
that
she's always been a brand or she's become a brand?
I think that she's always been, but then now her brand story is now very visible.
Visible, right.
Nobody becomes a brand overnight.
Yes.
The quicker you rise, you might fall down.
The quicker you fall.
That
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
So you have to understand that with a brand, now I like to use hair mm-hmm. as an example when I'm explaining branding.
Mm-hmm.
We have 7 million people in Nigeria that still hair. I'm exaggerating. I'm exaggerating.
That number might be accurate.
I'm exaggerating.
But yeah.
What sets you apart from everybody in that space?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your logo? Is it your tagline?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your colors?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do I see, if I saw your hair
mm-hmm.
without a tag on it, can I say that hair is so hair?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just the way we can recognize cuckoo hair almost anywhere.
And then I think that people need to be, because there's so many books and so much information that you can find online to help you with these things.
Right.
Because when it comes to a logo, you just think, oh, I have to do a logo. I have to do that. You don't think about the emotions,
the
colors of the logos.
It's insane.
Because I was reading up on these things and you find that like the power apps like the Ubers, the Nikes, the serious ones all kind of tend to use black.
Yeah.
Then you have the happy, the McDonald's, the yellow, you know what I mean? Then you have purple, which is rich, and like green is kind of friendly. Like they mean all different things.
Now,
but people don't think about the colors.
They just think, oh, I like a color.
A color.
Pick a color.
Blue is my favorite color. So what would you say to the people? So I'm going to, you know, direct that to you because obviously you have something that you're marketing, which isn't really a product.
Yeah.
And it's not even really a service. Is it a service? It's, you know, it's information that you're marketing and you're, you know, selling help pretty much. When it comes to being press ready, because you always want to have stuff for the press.
Yeah.
I find that a lot of people are never press ready. How press ready were you? Or did you find that, like, okay, somebody says, send me a profile shot. Some people send some fuzzy ass Instagram picture. You know what I mean? That ish has to be like 1 megabyte at the very minimum. You know what I mean? But 2 MB is a good picture because you don't want to clog up files. So how press ready were you when you started pushing or were you, and you can be honest.
Very honest.
You didn't have it together.
I don't like being out there. I don't like being the face. I like wearing trainers, looking anyhow I want to. So going in front of the camera is like, okay, now you have to start doing this, you have to start doing that. And I'm always caught in between the two, like
being yourself.
Do I change who I am or do I remain, you know, this, or should I find the middle ground?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, the honest truth is, when this whole BBC thing happened and they chose me, I just thought, like, half my post on social media is just me wearing trainers and the face cap. I really didn't care about anything, but they saw the work.
Right.
And that's when you realize that your work actually speaks for you.
Sure.
There's something more than just being popular.
Yes.
I don't even have, I probably have like 2,000 followers on Instagram, But it, but it just was for made you, it wasn't it about clear. The followers. Mm. That it doesn't matter.
But didn't you feel like, to be honest with you, like I actually judge people that came to my office one day and I can't even mention their names because they're big right now. And they wore t-shirts to the office. And my friend and I had this conversation. I was like, t-shirt. I just thought, well, come here for a serious meeting. So t-shirt.
Oh, you buy t-shirts if you had, agency.
You know, if you, I mean, but that's fine. But you're coming to market a product. So exactly. I feel like, and we, I say this thing all the time. We are visually judgmental as a nation, as a people.
Yeah.
So the first thing we're going to, if you're going to Dangote's office, will you wear a t-shirt? No, you wouldn't. So I'm not saying you should be glamorous, but surely you have to come out of that comfort zone of your sneakers and your trainers.
I think you really have to respect who you're going to see.
Yes.
And there's some times where you know that you don't really have to be someone you're not. So, but when you're going somewhere that you need to sell yourself, sell the brand, let them know what you're about, you definitely have to respect the people you go to see and dress.
So you have to get yourself together. You have to get those clothes, get your pictures ready.
Yes.
Get the. Do you have a website now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
what is your website, just for the people who want to know?
So it's babyhaven.org. So it's BEIBEIHAVEN.org.
And you constantly roll out, like, fertility information to people like, who are struggling.
Honestly speaking, when I started, I just thought, you know, I just want to help, you know, other women. But now, I think Nigeria is actually pushing me to do more.
Right.
So I have to move at a
faster pace.
Which means I did my website myself.
Yeah.
So now I have to literally keep updating. People force me like, okay, you need to start doing this, start doing. I'm like, okay, let me. Because you don't want to disappoint the people actually need your help. So it's.
But you know what? I find that very amazing because it sounds to me like part of a bigger story. You're doing your website yourself. You're growing organically.
That's what I was going
to
say. Don't succumb to like external kind of pressure because I think your brand is kind of selling care. So and with care comes trust. So if you're too kind of eager to do this, I need to do that. I think go at your pace and you know and build, you know, and then you'll get, you know, you'll rise.
Oh, I love the free consulting going on over here. So in summary, Bobby, just leave us with like, can you give like maybe 5 tips? Some do's and some don'ts. Like, what are people doing wrong in terms of being press ready and being PR friendly and, you know, the whole popularity thing versus influence? If somebody is trying to be more powerful and inspiring, give them some tips. And if they're doing the wrong things, what would you say those things are?
So in terms of getting press ready, I always say you definitely want to have a headshot professionally done.
Yeah.
Your bio, resume, all of that stuff needs to be on point.
Right.
When people Google your name, what do they see? If you don't have a website, that's fine, but at least your LinkedIn can be updated.
And at least please delete your MySpace account because I Googled my name once and I was like, wait. You know what I mean? Like, if you've forgotten about High Five, MySpace, that is just gonna come out. You know what I mean? So, like, delete those things. Yeah, carry on.
Be very knowledgeable about your brand. You don't want a situation where people are asking you questions and you really can't answer. I would say those.
So anything wrong that you've seen out there now that you just don't like?
All of these things, a lot of people
don't have.
And a lot of people are not ready and they're not prepared. And a lot of people need to be media trained.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, people are just being a bit lazy and following trends.
Yeah.
And it's this chasing popularity thing, which whilst relevance matters, I just honestly think that we should try to be more influential. Because I think change doesn't necessarily come with popularity. Change comes with influence because I think we can all tell that Hillary was more popular than Trump. Hillary was more influential than Trump, but Trump was more popular. You know what I mean? So I think that we all have to work on the influence thing. And I think it just, I don't know, it sounds better, but let's not forget that those numbers matter though. That's what cuts the checks. But thank you ladies for that intelligent discuss. We will be right back after the break for the hot topic of the day.
Hi guys, the topic of the day is asserting yourself with a partner's ex or letting him do it for you. Here's the story. I've been dating Akin for a little over a year. He has a lingering ex-wife who seems to want to make her presence known from time to time. I did my research the minute he told me he had an ex-wife. I went straight to Google, but I didn't find much. She was an average-looking woman with a great figure and seemed very progressive according to LinkedIn. He never dragged her through the mud or spoke badly of her. But he explained that her not having children for him gave her insecurities in the relationship and he fell out of love with who she became. She, of course, felt betrayed and it went downhill from there. They divorced. They didn't have any kids together but were married for 8 years. They are legally separated and to my knowledge, they rarely speak to each other. I have 2 kids of my own, a 6 and an 8-year-old. and Akin's driver occasionally picks them up from school. One day, Akin's ex-wife recognized his car and driver, with my two kids in it coming from school. I was stuck at work, so I couldn't make the school run. According to the driver, Sule, it all happened so fast. She swerved and blocked him on the road, and when he recognized who she was, he came out of the car to find out what her issue was. The crazy woman jumps out of the car and tells my kids to get out of the car and seize the keys before speeding off. She tells the driver, "Tell your guy to pick up my phone calls." Sule was forced to bring my frightened kids, who scurried out of the vehicle home on an Okada, as his phone was locked in the car. I don't even know where to start. This lady is mad. I found out her home address in 2 minutes, and I intend to roll up on her and rough her up a little bit. But I told my mugu of a best friend, and she said I should let Akin handle her and stay out of it. The thing is, I'm not sure if he will handle it as fiercely as he needs to, because men can be cowardly with these issues. I can't leave it to chance. I am livid, but also trying to calculate my move well. I am happy with my relationship, and he had no control over this. What would you do, ladies? Would you handle it your way, or let the man handle it? Would it affect the relationship if this is handled poorly? What would you do?
Welcome back, guys. You've heard that crazy story. I know some of you are already livid, but we'll leave it to our studio guests to judge the matter. Okay, Simi, what would you say if, or what would you do if this was you?
This is when...
Would you let the guy handle it, or do you feel like, you know, when it comes to your child, you know?
No, I would step in. I would address both parties. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be livid.
Who would you go for first? Instinctively. If, for instance, you know, this lady obviously has found this address in 1 hour, she's ready to drive over there, and then her friend tells her, way too. You know what I mean? That if you still want to manage this relationship, maybe you should go.
I would probably go for the woman first.
Okay.
Because my anger would lead me to her first. Because I'd be angry at the guy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think I would vent out all my frustration on the lady and explain, this is just a no-no. She needs to know that it can never, ever happen again, so to speak. And then I would call the guy. And then, you know.
So go straight for it first.
Definitely.
Well, what would you say to that, Rob?
Well, if there were no kids involved, I don't think I'd address her at all.
Okay,
because
if she just took the keys to the car,
do whatever, you know, he'll sort you out. Yeah, and you guys can do whatever you like. That's your problem.
Yes,
right? It has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. But you see, you can't take away the mom-ness
of the situation.
From a woman
that
has children that she loves and has children that she, you know, tries to protect and everything. And then somebody else is going to put her kids in a vulnerable, that's dangerous.
Yes, yes. Because they're quite young, 6
whether
and
you
8.
Like it or not, that's a very dangerous thing. Anything could have happened. The kids could, you know, a car could have came from somewhere. It's just wrong.
Yes.
And for that, I'll leave that between me and God.
Somebody's going to jail, right? Somebody's going to jail. So obviously, Tari, I mean, this must be a sensitive story for you because you advocate for children. You know what I mean? You are, you know, saying some people have difficulty having children. Mm-hmm. You guys, let's try and help them. Mm-hmm. And then here is this lady who is just, you know, she doesn't even have kids. So can you speak to that sentiment? So is that something that maybe is like, you know, they say it's not reverse psychology, but maybe that's, it's a hurt that she's feeling and that's what she's acting out on.
Yeah. The honest truth is I'll first go to the guy because I always believe when you are married to someone, if you don't actually end things properly, it would lead to a whole lot of, you know, ripple effects. Mm-hmm. And I think that she probably became crazy and it had to do with the fact that she didn't have children, which probably even made her even more crazy. And he may not have even given her closure. So she went in that crazy mode. I will go ham on the guy, like big time. He should sort it out. But at the same time, I would definitely report her to the police, file a case against her. Because if it happens again, she needs to be liable. She needs to have a criminal
record.
Yeah.
Documented.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I would probably write to her, get my lawyer to write to her that if this happens again, I will press charges, but anything direct, I definitely would leave it to the guy to handle. I'd be like, if you don't handle this again, just know that this is how I'm going to handle it.
But you see, Tade, Shori police to sign. We're in Lagos.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Please, can you speak to our Lagos? That's what that
was. No, but you know what? I will not, like, listening to how
you
said it.
Yes. That is the proper way.
Mm. That one, if I was her, I'd be afraid of you.
Yes.
Mm.
Do you understand? Yeah.
Because it's not an emotional,
response. This woman is probably looking for that confrontation.
Mm. Yes. She wants to have it with you.
She wants that confrontation. Mm.
So that is a grown way to handle it.
It is grown.
And that's why we like friends like you.
Yeah.
So what were you going to say to that in terms of our terrain? Will that work?
I think there's a place for it, but I think also because of the environment that we're in, that woman needs to be told. It's not enough for some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that she did it already kind of tells you her kind of frame of mind or her mental state.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not your everyday civilized person that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to sometimes speak their language.
Yeah. Mm. See, that's what I'm saying. So whilst I get that, I really like it.
Yeah,
it
I do.
Glamorous and proper.
It's great.
But speaking her language is what I'm talking about. And I feel like, can we address the driver here? Because that whole key swap situation blocked you on the road. How were you not ready? Like, does the driver need to be fired?
He's
my dad.
But your kid's in the car.
No, we can't really drag him into it because
I just feel like, how do you allow with kids in the car? I just feel like that was too slick of a woman to be able to do that right under your nose.
Let me tell you the instance in which the driver would have stood up is if it was the woman's driver.
Mm.
The new woman's driver.
Yes. So this he wouldn't have had that. Yeah. But this is the thing. So how do you kind of mark territory when you come in and this is like, you know, she's dating this guy. It's a strong relationship, I believe a year or plus. Mm-hmm. And do you fire all his drivers? Because that's the problem. Like when you don't fire, you come into a new situation. Yes. You're not necessarily married. You can't really fire. So right. That loyalty is to probably ex-madam.
It would be.
He might have liked. I might have greased his palms a little bit, you know. But sadly, this driver is still going to stay in employment. I don't know that I'll be comfortable with him staying in employment though. Because for me, I wouldn't be able to. Like you were picking up my kids. How did it happen? And the kids had to come home on Okada. I think we even missed that part. The kids had to be brought home on an Okada, which is a bicycle, a motorbike. And I can't imagine putting, you know, my kids, two kids that are, you know, under 10, you know what I mean, on an Okada. And not to say that is not everybody, some people's daily realities in Nigeria. Yeah, that's sure. fine, but that's not my own reality. So why would you want my kids to, you know, go through that? So me personally, shall handle the babe. I don't, like, I think that hour with which she, I think it would be after that I will now tell the guy sorry. I have to go for it first because men sometimes I feel can be laid back.
Yes.
I find that when it comes to starting over again after a failed marriage, there are a lot of things that need to be put in place, and even the new woman coming in has to be mentally ready because you have to understand, especially if the man, let's say he's had kids. You have to be mentally ready. You'll never be their mother no matter what.
Yeah.
It's a tough space.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be mentally ready of the fact that the man himself may even have friends that are close to
the other woman. Yes.
And you're coming in. Mm-hmm. You have to use full wisdom. And the only way this can be smooth for you is the man making it easy for you.
Let's find out what our chicks in the streets had to say.
Obinrin to fi oko esile yen ko ni right lati gbe lati lo double cross driver ko gba kokoro lowo driver to ba ma se ru nkan be yen ohun atoko lo ye kan jijo lo ma yanju ara won sugbon ki obinrin ti bi yen iwa to hu yen iwa ti o dara rara ohun ni o hu ko fi sura re ko to ba ye ko obinrin mi ohun lo lo cross moto oko ohun to mo to gba kokoro lowo driver ba o lo se fe ri ni are ko ye ko ri be yen
maada idi pe kolorun to da maada ni pe mi o le ko mo meji wa loko ko obinrin ko wa de losan ogan ko wa kidnap awon omo mi to me no woman can do that for me. Because I'm not the one that break his own before. And I met my husband in another brand, on a neutral ground. I've not accepted it from her. I will go and meet her. It's woman to woman. To show her she's not the only one that is wicked. Another person is more wicked than her. You and your husband, you are no more. Why chasing me around. I won't accept that one from her. Ah, my she good me yeah me fa. My dad and boys is here. One no.
I will pick up my kids myself. Two wrongs cannot make a right. So she should let the crazy one be crazy and let her keep calm.
Yes, she should leave the man. After all, she has two kids already, even if she doesn't have any man in her life. I don't think it's because in our African setup, all about everything about our relationship is children. And once you have children, like the Yoruba would say, Baba money, what you are reading, what you come on. So she should actually leave that relationship for the sake of her. If she truly loves her children, she should leave that relationship.
So he has to take a serious stand. Because
what I find in this country is that when, let's say, a man has lost a wife and he's about to remarry, he doesn't call his kids to explain.
Yeah,
he just go to wet clothes and go to daddy's new wedding.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
You must explain. You must communicate.
Yes.
If you have an ex that you have children with and you're getting married again, you have to inform her.
Mm.
Don't say it's not her business. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Fine, you don't have to, but it's just that it will make things more peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with what Bobby's saying. I was thinking that, you know, for the fact that the woman did this, it kind of shows the relationship she has with the ex. Because you shouldn't be able to dream it. You know?
Yeah.
The fact that you were able to act on it means you really, aside from the fact that you don't have any respect for the woman, you don't care about the kids at all.
Yeah.
But then you have absolutely no regard for this man because that's their father.
Right.
That's the father. So
No. That's not the father of the kids. The kids were the woman's kids from another marriage.
Oh,
so she's dating a guy who has no kids with an ex-wife.
But
would it be different though? That's true. Would it be different if maybe she had had kids? Because if she had kids and she did the same thing, then would that you're just a wicked, you're just a witch.
That would definitely be that would just be evil, plain evil.
Okay then. Well, to summarize, I'm gonna let you fertility, advocate summarize this. So Tade, can you summarize for us those people who are going through cohabiting situations and scenarios where you have to deal with like an ex-wife who has children, or deal with, you know, an ex-husband's kids? How do you, what message would you give to people to kind of get out their feelings?
Yeah. I believe that there needs to be boundaries and everything goes around those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the boundaries aren't set and you come into the picture, you have to put your foot down for those boundaries to be put.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, when you know that there are some commas in his past, you can't ignore it, which is what a lot of women do. And that's why they start coming out of the woodwork and just, you know, like, I didn't know this. But you have to deal with everything head on. Understand the fact that this is not it's not a typical situation. And you know what? She must have been giving him signs. The crazy woman must have been sending him text messages and he knew but he ignored. And you cannot ignore things like that. You have to deal with it head on. And it's because of the fact that he ignored that his kids actually came into the picture. So the truth is, you really cannot ignore any crazy person that could ever come into your family. Deal with it head on. Understand what the scenario is. Set boundaries. Set, you know, things that people live by, and that is the way that at least people can live, you know, in somewhat peace.
You can't really
for somewhat. People need to learn to get over stuff. There's too much
baggage.
You guys don't have kids together. What are you people? What's the problem?
Yes. Let it go. But listen, it might be some property that you're trying to get that property. Tell your guy to pick up his food. I mean, I wouldn't be throwing no kids out the car.
It's just so difficult how much other stuff everyone has to do.
I think that we have to find closure in ourselves, though, because obviously there is still some part of this woman that hasn't found closure in this relationship. And that is just something that we as women or individuals have to do ourselves. Find your own closure. Don't look, because you'll be crying forever, trying to always find something to get back into this guy's life. But anyway, thank you ladies for joining me. That was a very interesting and candid topic. Well, guys, you heard it here. If you have any ex-wife or ex-husband that is doing you strong too, just try and manage it as best as you can. Use wisdom in all things. We're never, ever at our best all the time, but there are some situations that will test you. Let's just try and see God first and then give her a punch because she's crazy. See you guys next time on Chick Chat Live.